it disconnects people from the full range of information available about something, and therefore gives them a false reality of that organization or that situation. Same with 9/11, same with the Mormon Church. And of course, what the religions do is, if you start to question, whether it's the Jehovah's Witnesses or whatever, talk to Jehovah's Witnesses who have actually tried to question the system of that organization and what happens to them, you're jumped upon, you're isolated, you have the group turned against you because you're questioning the truth, and this is how these people survive. It's just by vicious dictatorship, and anything that has to survive by that ain't worth surviving.
Wildcard Line, you're up with David Icke on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, it's Daniel in Los Angeles.
Hi.
I wanted to ask David, is your one missing puzzle piece Jesus is love? I agree that there are false religions, even false sects like the Mormons, but Satan is the leader of the reptilians, or Abaddon, the destroyer of Revelation 9/11, who's worshipped by the Freemasons. And at the 33rd degree, they learn out of chaos comes order. So they're going to depopulate the planet with this microchip, but you don't have a choice. You either stay and be a slave on a slave planet, or you go home to be with Jesus. And this Las Vegas UFO landing, does he think it could be a reptilian deception in which the reapers gather the tares, which is found in the Bible in Matthew chapter 13?
Well, first of all, there's so many smoke and mirrors that it's a constant, challenge to see what is real and what is mask, what is smoke and mirrors, what is diversion. There's so many diversions to take you off the path to understanding what's actually going on. But the other thing is that you mentioned that is my one missing puzzle piece Jesus. Well, I only wish that I only had one missing puzzle piece, Daniel. I really do, because there are still a heck of a lot of holes in the picture which need to be pursued. So at any point, you've got what you've got at any point. You've not got it all. In terms of Jesus, no, I don't go for that. I respect those that do. Good luck to you. But I don't go for that at all. I don't go for the Jesus story, which is repeated over and over in different cultures around the world with remarkable similarity to the Jesus story. I don't go for this idea that one man is this or one man is that, and we must go and be with this one person, this one entity. We are all infinite consciousness. And once we put someone else or something else on a pedestal, we are looking up and we are disconnecting our reality from the fact that we are all infinite consciousness. We are all infinite love. That's my perspective. And, you know, if others have another perspective, good luck to them. Let's have a beer. But I don't buy the Jesus thing at all.
West of the Rockies, you're on with David Icke. Hi there.
Hey, it's Mike. What a thrill and honor to talk to you both, George. David,
hello, Mike.
I was really, really concerned about chemtrails and was just wondering how you thought that they were playing into this whole crazy plan that's unfolding. Because I got to tell you, today over central Washington, they were the heaviest I have ever, ever seen them. And just the whole possibilities, I mean, who knows what they're really all about. And I was just really curious if you could please expand on that just a bit.
Any thoughts on chemtrails, David?
Well, I don't like to speak on things I haven't, researched to any length. I think it's insulting to the listener, and it's also ridiculous. And I've not really gone into the chemtrail thing in any detail, except to clearly acknowledge that something very strange is going on here, because I travel a heck of a lot, and it's not just in America that it's happening. It's happening all over the place, and people talk about this phenomenon and the effects that it has on them physically. Anyone that's putting chemicals from the sky, which they very clearly seem to be, is going to have a detrimental effect on a physical body that is very, very prone to being rewired by chemicals. So something's going on that is highly significant, and it fits into the whole picture of this multi-level attack on humans mentally, emotionally, and physically, even down to the vast increase in obesity, thanks to fast food and chemicals in food and all this other stuff. If you struggle to operate physically, then that is fundamental to you fully expressing your multidimensional potential in this reality. And so in every area of our computer, physically, mentally, emotionally, etc., we are being attacked and bombarded by the day. And there's a reason for this. It's because we are infinite genius. We are infinite knowing. And for us to be disconnected from that, we have to be bombarded on every level. Because you mentioned earlier, George, I think, that we would talk about the fact that why was this happening? Were they afraid of something, these people doing it? Well, what they're afraid of is human consciousness opening up and expressing itself and overriding the control of the biological computer and its program. It's interesting that when you talk to psychologists, they have this term archetypes, and they say that a remarkably few archetypal personalities can be found in almost every human, and combinations of these archetypal personalities. Well, we're talking infinite possibility here. How can you have a small number of archetypal personalities coming up again and again and again in people when we're dealing with infinite possibility? It's ridiculous. But what these people are picking up are the archetypal personalities, mental and emotional, within the biological computer, the program playing out. This is why, you know, they can identify these things. When you go into infinite consciousness, that level of who we are, then the archetypes start to dissolve because the computer's control is being overridden. And it's the same as an analogy I've used many times. If you have a tank of water and you've got a tennis ball or something and you want to hold the tennis ball on the bottom of the water and you want to keep it there, then you have to hold it there all the time. Because the moment you let go, that ball is going to go into its natural state, which is floating on top of the water. And symbolically, that's what's happening to us and why they're having to bombard us on so many levels to keep us from waking up. It's because our natural state is to be awake. It's to be all-knowing. It's to be infinite consciousness. And what is happening, for whatever reason, clearly, and I've almost been a barometer of this from when I started talking about these things back in the late 80s, early 90s. Mm-hmm. I have seen, and you must have seen it, as I said earlier on your program year after year, George, there is a fundamental awakening going on where people are starting to see through the veil or see beyond the veil. And as a result of that, these guys are running around trying to hit us with everything they can, whether it's chemicals and chemtrails we're talking about, whether it's additives in food, chemical additives in food, whether it's mobile phones that are rewiring the function of the brain, the central processing unit, etc., or whether it's false information. They are seeking to hold us in the trap so that we don't wake up, because, like I say, for some reason there is a change taking place which is triggering a wake-up call and an alarm call for increasingly vast numbers of people, and they're terrified of this. And for me, that is one of the key reasons they're desperate to get us microchipped, to suppress the ability of the computer to manifest consciousness. They want to scramble the computer. Because, you know, you get someone who's mentally handicapped. It's not that their consciousness is handicapped. It's that their computer doesn't function for whatever reason. And because it doesn't function, they cannot manifest the full potential through it. And symbolically, as of course, when they leave the computer, then they leave the handicap behind. And it's the same with what they're trying to do to us in all these different levels. They're trying to, in effect, handicap us to, if you like, put viruses in the computer so that we cannot fully manifest our awakening potential at this fantastic time when we're opening our eyes and opening our minds and opening our hearts and seeing what we couldn't see before.
We'll be back with final calls for our guest, David Icke, right here on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie. And with not a lot of time left, let's go right back to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to our first-time caller line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Welcome. Where are you calling from? Yes, sure is.
Hi. Happy pre-birthday, George Gemini. Nancy, I'm in the East Village in New York.
Oh, hi, Nancy. Go ahead.
Hi. David, I...
Hello, Nancy.
Hello. I met you a number of years ago with Andy Lee. We were making a film on consciousness change called Deep in the Deal. And my question to you is, I haven't been able to finish this film because I've applied for grants from every independent art organization in England and America, and I keep coming up against a blank wall. These are supposed to be independent thinkers and artists, and the film is certainly radical. You are in it. Do you think that something is working against this and against me? I mean, I'm asking for editing money. Everybody I know gets money to finish films on cancer and the more appropriate subjects, and I'm trying not to be paranoid, but I'm kind of wondering if I'm just part of this, you know, I'm on the downside of this movement. It's just cutting me out and my ideas and yours as well.
Well, there's two ways, Nancy, that this works, and one's far more effective and widespread than the other. One is that there are people who are consciously suppressing the information you want to bring forward. Now, that does happen. The one that happens most of the time is that once you set the norms in society, you immediately create the point from which the vast majority of people who buy those norms observe the world. For instance, simple example, a few centuries ago, the media would have dismissed anyone that said the Earth was a sphere because the norm was that it was flat. There eventually came a point where the evidence was overwhelming that the Earth was a sphere, and at that point everything switched, and now anyone who says the Earth is flat is dismissed as ridiculous and far out and nutter. And in the same way, this information about consciousness we're talking about, although staggeringly mainstream science in all its various disciplines has already understood vast amounts of this whole construct of illusion, but it's never put the pieces together. So despite that, the norm still is not what we're talking about. And therefore, people make decisions on funding. This may not be the case in yours. It may be knowingly wishing to suppress. But in the vast majority of cases, these people just come from a certain norm. And they will make their funding and supporting decisions based on the norm. And if something's apparently far out from the norm or very different from the norm, their instinct is not to go with it, not to support it. I mean, you know, I talk to television producers all the time who come on and say, we'd like to do this, we'd like to do that, but of course we can't go too far. Well, so there at that point is someone taking the norm as the point of reference and editing what people can hear on the basis of not going too far from the norm from which he is perceiving reality, and also fear of going too far in case these bosses say, what you're doing, that's ridiculous to put that out, it's so crazy. So these things are happening all the time, and whether it's knowingly or whether it's the system of norm support that I'm talking about, I don't know, but your experience is not a rare one, to say the least, in terms of the subjects that we're talking about and the kind of subjects that that George has on his show.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Nance. Appreciate you being part of the program. David, where's the book, by the way, available? Infinite Love is the Only Truth.
It's available from davidicke.com, which is my website, which I have updated news from another perspective of the daily news every day. And, it's been very very encouraging. The interest in the book's been very encouraging indeed. And, you know, in many ways, it's been the most interesting thing I've done because it's just started to have some fundamental mysteries in my mind anyway start to fall apart. And this thing we started talking about, the DNA, is extremely important. What actually happened that actually triggered me to write this book and all the stuff that followed is a friend of mine, a healer, a very, very advanced healer too, called Mike Lambert, here on the Isle of Wight in England. He came around one day, I hadn't seen him for a while, and we started chatting, and I don't know why it did, but DNA came up. And he said, I wrote a paper years ago about DNA, and he said, I'll bring it around. And he, when I read it, it just hit me like a smack on the head. What hit me was that four DNA codes is all there are. A, C, G, and T. And I came across this quote from the San Francisco Chronicle that really summed it up. It says, DNA is a universal software code from bacteria to humans. The basic instructions for life are written in the same language. Now, what makes the colors, what makes everything on, in a computer and on the internet? Computer codes. Codes manifest as what we see on the internet. This is exactly what's happening in the holographic internet we call our physical reality. The difference between a house mouse DNA code sequence and a human DNA code sequence is remarkably similar compared with the dramatic difference in physical manifestation. And what makes things, quote, different is the form, the order in which these codes appear in the DNA. And what also becomes clear is that the DNA is a crystalline antennae. Again, I came across a great quote in an article about this, which said this: from the characteristic form of this giant molecule, a wound double helix, the DNA represents an ideal electromagnetic antenna. On one hand, it is elongated and thus a blade antenna, which can take up very well electrical pulses. On the other hand, seen from above, it has the form of a ring and thus is a very good magnetical antenna. And when I got this smack on the head when I saw these two lines about DNA,